fourth chapter. This is a very familiar verse, and Brother Jackie has already quoted it this morning. But we're going to look in this and talk about this great supplier that we have. Philippians 4 and 15. The Bible said, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. This, when you get to reading the letter to the church here at Philippi, I think it's pretty obvious that Paul really loved this people. He really did. They were a special group to him, as maybe compared to the church at Corinth or others. Not that maybe he loved them less or more. I don't know how you, but they were just a special group of people that he had seen so many blessings and to take place in their lives. You remember back in the book of Acts when Paul was on his missionary journeys, that he had a desire at one point, and I want to think that he had a desire to go to Greece or somewhere, but the Holy Ghost forbid them to go or wouldn't let them go, and he didn't understand that. And they prayed again, and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, wouldn't let them go. And that's when he had that vision. He seen and heard that Macedonian call, I believe it is. And the door opened for them. And it just seems like that some wonderful things begin to happen for Paul and his ministry. And to have the gospel of Jesus Christ just sent, and I think out of this came the church of Philippi. And so we read here in our text today, and this is a letter I believe written while he was in prison. He said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So he looks at this and he's telling the church here how that they have been a supplier to him. They have helped him with his financial needs, with the needs that he had in his ministry, the journeying and the things that had to be done. And so he looks at them, and they were blessing him. They were helping him when others didn't even consider or maybe didn't have it to give, but they were willing to. And so he's praising them. He's giving them some honor here, some credit, thanking them in one way, but realizing that he'll never be able to repay them or help them in the sense that financially what they've done for him. But he says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the way I feel a lot of times. There's a lot of things that are done. And there's no way that I'd ever be able to repay folks. But I know that God is able. And God is willing. This morning, one commentator there wrote, "My God shall supply all your need. He has, as you have given to me in my distress, God will never suffer you to want without raising up help to you as he raised you up for help to me." And then on the according to his riches, he goes on, he says, "His fullness is infinite, and through Christ, whose followers we are, he will dispense every requisite blessing of providence, grace, and glory to you." Amen. I tell you what, this morning, for you and I that are saved, and I believe we are here today. Isn't it a wonderful blessing and a special promise or covenant that we can have with God, knowing that He will supply all of our needs? Amen. One man said He was and is the great supplier. Praise the Lord. When we start looking back through the Bible today, trying to recognize Him as the supplier of our needs, not of our wants necessarily, as Brother Jackie has already mentioned this morning, but He has promised that we'll not have any need. Amen. He will meet our needs. And I've thought, being in the retail business for most of my life, that for us to be able to put the items on the shelves, to have things to stock, you know, we needed a supplier. But there were times when that supplier was out of that particular stock. And, you know, it seemed like at Christmas time we had a desire for a couple things, and never fails, you know, the things that you want, they don't have. They're out of. And I went to the Walmart yesterday. I was out of labels for our CDs, and so I ran over there. And I first thought, well, I'll go to Kmart. They're never as busy as the Walmart is. But then I thought to myself, well, if I go into Kmart, I'll end up having to go to Walmart anyway because they won't have what I need. Well, so I made the decision. I went to Walmart. Got in Walmart, and guess what happened? They didn't carry them labels anymore. They quit carrying them. And so I had to go to Kmart after all. And thankfully, they had one box left. You know, one little packet left, and I got what I needed. But I found out that even Walmart can't always supply our needs. Amen. They have a lot of things. You can go to, if you ever been to Mount Vernon, Illinois, and you want to see a store with just about anything and everything, you go out to Dobbs. Turn south there and head down towards Benton on 37. And you'll find a place out there called Dobbs, and man, have they got the stuff. I want to say junk, but I said stuff. And they got it. You can't turn around. You got to be careful, you ladies, with your purses, because you'll knock something off the shelf, you know, because everything's, you know, seem like real tight. But they've got the stuff, and you can go into other places, but not everybody has the ability to supply the needs that we have in our lives 24/7. That's kind of a big phrase today, isn't it? 24/7. You know, 24 hours a day. We're here all the time, and we're ready to hear your call, you know, and then you call them up and you sit there for half an hour, you know. So I don't know if that always works or not. But nonetheless, thank God I do have someone this morning to preach about that is on call 24/7. You won't get a busy signal. You won't be put on hold, if you will. Amen. You can go to Him and call out to Him, and He hears our cries, and He's concerned about our cries. This morning, we'll find out first that He is a supplier in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy, the second chapter, the Bible said here in that seventh verse, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great, or through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." Now that's an amazing statement to me. Really is. Here he tells them, of course we know the story, how that God brought them out of Egypt. There took 10 plagues upon them. Finally they were brought out. They were brought through the Red Sea. And now here they've spent this time in the wilderness. It wasn't God's will for them to spend 40 years walking in the wilderness. It wasn't His will at all. He had them at the River Jordan. He had them there where they could go across into the land of Canaan. But the 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, "We can't do it." They discouraged the people. And therefore they were turned around and sent back into the wilderness. Spent those 40 years until a generation of people died. And yet that was not obviously God's will, but because of their disobedience and lack of faith, amen, that He would supply their every need. But He said here that the Lord thy God hath bless thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. And he said, you have lacked nothing. Amen. You have never had. Now, you know, here we are today thinking about our lives and trying to compare. It's hard to compare what we have compared to what they had. Amen. Walking through that wilderness, man, there's times it got dry. They thought they were going to thirst to death. And God came along and provided water out of a rock. There was times, you know, maybe they felt like that they weren't getting fed, didn't have enough to eat, and God provided them manna. And then after that, they got tired of manna and said, we'd like to have some meat. God sent in a big old bunch of quail, and there they had meat to eat. God was always on the end of providing for them. His supplies never ran out. You read on down the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. He said, who led through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth the water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. But if you read back earlier in that same chapter, you understand that the Lord had been their provider. Listen to this statement. He said, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Can y'all ever bought a pair of shoes or a dress or something that lasted 40 years? I've got a suit that I've had for a long time, and that, you know, that says a lot. It means I ain't changed a lot, you know, in size anyway. But it's starting to, you know, unravel in places. But it ain't been no 40 years. Amen. So I haven't seen a lot of things in that's made today, whether it's made here in America, whether it's made overseas. Doesn't seem like that they tend to last, you know, especially like they used to. And it can be auto parts. It can be things out here in this world, you know, whatever, you know, seem like that people, all they want to do is get their work in and go home. And there's not a lot of pride like there used to be in what we did. And so therefore, you know, things just doesn't seem to last as long as they used to. But my, when God does something, He brought them people out. He wanted them to be His people. He was proud of them. Amen. They chided against them, and He still met their needs. Oh yeah, there was times He was ready to destroy them. But God had a man that would intercede on their behalf. He would pull back His wrath and once again begin to try to meet their needs and bless them. Look at this, where God wanted them to go to. He said, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. My, what a precious promised land that this was to the people. Amen. They had to spend 40 years in the wilderness to really understand and appreciate the blessings that God had for them. Isn't that terrible this morning? Why should we have to wander in the wilderness before we can really appreciate God? But so many people are like that. Amen. Sometimes we just have to go through things. We feel like we're there, and then we kind of get a little, you know, hard-nosed, or just maybe a little bit like, you know, we're satisfied where we're at. And so when things kind of come along, we just take it easy, just kind of let it go with the flow. Amen. And pretty soon we find ourselves a little dry and out here in this wilderness, if you will, spiritual wilderness,
when all the time, if we just appreciated what we had and where we were with God, we wouldn't have had to go through all of that. But it just takes those times sometimes in our lives, not just spiritual things, but also when it comes to maybe a marriage, or when it comes to our work, and when it comes to our everyday life, the things that go on, we just don't always appreciate them like we should. Takes us to go through things, and we understand how wonderful it is as we grow up as kids. You know, we get a little older, we think, well, we got everything figured out. Maybe don't need mom and dad as much as we used to. But oh, then whenever times come, sickness comes, or maybe even loss, when they pass on and go on, then you look back and you say, man, I needed them more than I ever realized. And that really is kind of the way it is with the things of God this morning. We're nothing without Him. We can't survive out here without Him. Our lives would be hopeless without Him. Everything that you and I think we are, we're not. It takes God to make us what we are. You can't teach a Sunday school class unless you got God on your side. Amen. I can't preach the gospel unless I've got the Lord. But if I try to do it in myself, I'll make a big fool out of myself. It takes God. God is the supplier for our lives. The psalmist said He clave the rocks in the wilderness and He gave them drink as out of the great depths. That's what the Lord wants to do for the church in this hour. As we go through what seems like at times a wilderness, a time of dryness, a time of without, if you will trust God and turn to the Lord, He will supply water out of the rock. He'll supply honey out of the rock. That rock is Christ Jesus this morning. He'll bless your heart. He'll bless your life. He'll put joy back in your soul. It's been a time of wilderness, but trust God this morning. He will meet your need. Amen. My God shall supply all. All of our needs. So no matter where we are with the Lord, no matter where we are, God does know where we are. Amen. He knows there's times this whole human body, until it's really just completely crucified, the flesh will get in the way. The flesh will work between you and God. And the Lord knows that. Amen. I'm glad He didn't make us to be robots, didn't you? Amen. He didn't just save us and say, okay, now you're a robot, you just go on. But He didn't do that. He still gave us a free will. Amen. Some folks get closer to God than others. Some folks feel the Lord more than others. Some folks seem to get blessed more than others. The difference is they have a desire and a want. They like to have the blessing of the Lord. They know out there somewhere is a spiritual wilderness. Out there someplace. If they don't keep on track with the Lord, stay in His will, there is a spiritual wilderness. You don't want to be there today. You really don't, because you'll begin to blame God. You'll begin to think that it's all God's fault, and you'll want to turn your back on God and go back to the very thing that God brought you out of, Isn't it amazing how quickly we forget? It really is. That didn't seem, while we were there, we just begged and pleaded, and God, get me out of it. I'm tired of this. I can't take it no more. And then when God does, time goes by, things aren't going like we think they should. And then we think, it wasn't all that bad after all. Man, memory sometimes is rather short. But thank God we have a merciful God this morning, amen, that even knows our shortcomings and is so willing, amen, to bring us through, amen. He gives us maybe a little leeway, and if we're not careful, we'll hang ourselves. But oh, thank God, it's His desire to supply, amen, the needs that you have in your life.
For all of us, it can be a little different, you know, the different stages in our life, the different things that are going on. It can be a little different for us all. Amen. But no matter, you know, like I said, God has the supply. It's just up to us being desirous for Him. Amen. Go to the Lord and let Him bring us out of this wilderness we're in. Not only is He a supplier in the wilderness, He is the supplier for the righteous. Amen. Now that promise that Paul here wrote to the people of Philippi, that it wasn't for those that didn't believe in God. I believe that was for the Christian, for the saved. Amen. For the person that trusted in the Lord. Amen. If you trust in God and you're doing for God and you're trying to bless God, amen, God will bless you. But if you're doing it for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose, or the wrong idea, amen, then God is in no way have to return that promise and bless us. Amen. Come on now. That's right. You do it for the right reason and the right purpose. And then I believe you need to be saved. Don't you? Forgiven of your sins. Trusting in the Lord. There's good people out there. And I know sometimes we look at a situation and think, man, the wicked and the sinner are getting better off than us Christians are. Anybody ever thought that? They seem like they're doing. Sometimes we look at the church world and we say, man, you know, here we feel like that this is the truth. Trying to live and be as the Lord wants us to be. And then yet this out here is doing, you know, just booming business. Amen. I tell you what, if you keep trusting in the Lord, amen, all that'll really matter is that we make it all the way through to heaven. Amen. We want to bring folks with us. There should be a desire to bring folks with us. Amen. But He is a supplier this morning for those that are saved, those that are righteous, those that have been made righteous through His righteousness, not ours, but His this morning. Amen. And so for those who trust in the Lord and believe in the Lord and do things for the Lord, He is a supplier for their needs. One example today comes out of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, in the first verse. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Amen. If you're in the will of God, and you're doing what God wants you to do, amen. It may not always be easy. It may not always be the popular thing. Amen. It may not what the crowd wants or the family wants. But if you're doing the will of God, amen, God will sustain you and I. He will supply our need. Elijah,
came and met here with Ahab, and he told Ahab, he said, it ain't going to rain until you turn back to God. 3.5 years, it isn't going to rain. And so for 3.5 years, it didn't. It didn't. Amen. They had people that were losing their lives. They had their cattle and sheep and such that was losing their lives. There was no water to be found. What were they going to do? Everything was drying up. But yet God took this man who was living in his in the will of the Lord and was willing to speak the words of God, even though they weren't very popular. And then God took him by a brook and set him there. Amen. And he sent ravens every day. Amen. To come in and feed. Elijah sitting there. Now, you can say, well, I wouldn't want to do that. Listen, God was providing for him. Amen. You know, ravens kind of always been the symbol of a sinner. And whenever it can't get a dove to come along and obey him, he'll send a sinner along, a raven along, to meet the need. Oh, it's happened many times this morning. Amen. You try to stand for the things of God, and people don't always appreciate it, but God does. God doesn't forget. He marks it down, that step of obedience that you took. He marks it down when you told somebody about Jesus and they didn't want to hear it. You took a stand. Amen. My wife last night, it went down to her mother's and they were there visiting, and some of her a brother and sister was coming in, and so they just kind of had a family dinner together. And so anyway, she'd invite this other guy along, my mother-in-law had, and he's been a loner and stuff. But anyway, he's kind of feeling like maybe I shouldn't tell this story, but Jim, we have to mark this out. But nonetheless, she took a stand, and told him what the Bible said. I'm probably, real sure he didn't appreciate it. Probably didn't like what she had to say. But I'll tell you what, when you stand on the Word of God, you don't have anything to back down from. Elijah here stood on the Word of the Lord. And because he stood on the Word of the Lord, while others were without, he wasn't without. He had water to drink, and he had food to eat. And then when the brook dried up because of natural things, he sent him to another little town, and he had a little widow woman already prepared to sustain him until the day came. He would meet up there on the mountain of Mount Carmel, and they'd pray down the fire. Thank God he's a supplier this morning of our needs. Amen. You stand the will of God. You pray and seek the Lord. Amen. He may not come through on every want that we have, but any need that you have, God will provide. God will help. Amen. But Elijah was just a man, just like you and I. Amen. Just like you and I. And there came even a point there after praying down fire out of heaven. Man, what a great miracle that was. Not a big theological prayer, but he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard, and fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water, all that was there, and the people turned back to God. But here come Jezebel. Pretty old Jezebel. Huh? Jezebel came along and threatened Elijah. And Elijah, for whatever reason, decided to take off. There in that 19th chapter, she said, let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Amen. You know, there's just times that we're all at a point we can make a mistake. Huh? You may say, boy, if I prayed down fire out of heaven, I'd have all the confidence in God, all the trust in God. I'd never mess up. You better watch out. That's right. You better watch out, because God's just liable to put you in a place where you feel like maybe, you know, it was more you than Him. And you're going to find yourself in a mess and in trouble. Oh, yes, Elijah prayed down fire. But here come Jezebel, somebody who didn't like what he was doing and what he was standing for, and confronted him, and he took off for his life. But listen to this. He went himself there a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. Lord, take my life. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." But as he lay and slept under that juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and he said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water. Amen. God was just coming along. Amen. I know, Elijah, that you're a little fearful. I know maybe you're a little kind of discouraged here. Thought victory was all right, you know. Ahab and Jezebel would just turn and run. But they didn't. Amen. Things didn't go just like you thought. But I haven't left you alone. You may be running, but I got someplace else that you need to do. Something else you need to do. Someplace you need to go. And so there he looked. There was God already providing for him. Got him something to eat. Amen. And got him something to drink. Isn't it amazing how God knows exactly where we are. Amen. And what we're going through. And he always comes through on time. My, my, my. I could tell, you know, of stories of my own life. I heard this one the other day about a lady that had found out she had cancer. And it was a preacher's wife, and they went to a doctor, and the doctor began to tell them, you know, about the situation and the condition and what the possibilities was, and it didn't look very good. And she was laying there in this hospital room, and there was a sign on the wall that said cancer. And as she kind of turned and looked at that, was surveying the room and looked at that sign there, she said, all of a sudden, she said, "I seen something." Amen. It was a red line came and marked through that word cancer. And on top of the red line was the word canceled. Amen. Well, it wasn't too long. The doctor come in. Amen. At another time. And they begin to examine her. And they came back with the news that they couldn't find anything in her body. Amen. There wasn't any cancer to be found. God this morning is a supplier. No matter what we're going through. Amen. It may seem time to be hard to trust in God. But we must keep our faith and know that He will supply our every need. Praise the Lord. You believe that this morning? Anybody ever been there? Didn't know how it was going to work out? Didn't know how it was going to come through? Amen. Didn't know how the need was going to be met? Amen. The psalmist said, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understand my thought." He knows us better than we do. Brother Jay, He knows us better than we do. Amen. We think we're going to figure this out. It's hard sometimes to trust in God. But you got to keep your confidence in Him. He has the supply. If you're hungry, He's got bread for you. If you're thirsty, He'll give you the drink of a fountain that you'll never thirst again. Amen. If you need some financial help, amen, the Lord comes through and meets the need time and time and time again. Amen. If you're trying, amen. You hear me this morning. If you're trying, God comes through. Amen. Time and time and time again. For the righteous, He is a supplier for our needs. The psalmist said in 34th chapter, 19th verse, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." But, don't you like that word here at this point? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It rains on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? Amen. It happens to things. Things happen to everybody. That's just the way it is. Amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. Oh, yes, Paul, he counted his afflictions, amen, as glory. He gave God the glory and praise because he realized that when he was weak, that's when he was strong. Amen. God understands, amen, that he loves us. He'll chastise us. He'll bring us to areas in our life, try to make us stronger, amen, to grow in him, to have more confidence and faith in him. We all have a purpose in this life. Every one of us. God has a reason you're saved. It wasn't just for you to come and be on a pew. Amen. But he saved us for a purpose and a reason. And therefore, if we have a desire to fulfill that will of God and fulfill the purpose that he has for us in his life, amen. With that desire, sometimes, amen, we may have problems like Job. Maybe not to the extent that Job did, amen, but hopefully we can come out on the other side like Job did, amen, never losing our integrity with the Lord, how he loves us, amen, and realizing that no matter what we're facing, no matter where God has brought us through or why he's allowed this to happen in our lives, amen, only you know if you've held your confidence in God. Only you know if you've sinned or not. There's none of us that can look upon you and know your heart, know you are with God. Only you know that. Job knew that. He knew his own life. I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything. When everybody else was trying to tell him, maybe you sinned, Job. Maybe you've done something wrong and God has turned his back on you. You hear me this morning. You know your life. If there's sin, amen, then you might understand when God may turn around and wait on you to make things right. But if you're still living right, amen, there's not sin in your life and you're living for the Lord. We know that the afflictions of the righteous, amen, are many, but thank God he can deliver us out of them all because he is the supplier of our needs. Amen. And thirdly, this morning, he's the supplier of our need, but the greatest need that he ever supplied for you and I, we'll find in that great verse, John 3:16, for the Lord himself gave us this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. The greatest need that you and I have ever had was a need for a Savior. Amen. And he provided that for us. Did he not? Matthew 1:23 tells us how that a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He came as a babe born in a manger, amen, wrapped in swaddling clothes, announced by the host of heaven, amen. Shepherds came and went back and told the story. What a great event it was, but it was God in the flesh. He came down to live and work and to die on this earth because the plan of salvation had to be fulfilled. Amen. Man was separated from God. It wasn't enough for the blood of bulls and goats. It wasn't doing the job. Amen. It needed the blood of a perfect sacrifice. And that's where the Son of God came in. Amen. He had no earthly father. Amen. His blood was not tainted. It was pure. Amen. From heaven. And when he gave his life on Calvary's hill, there was no sin. There was no defiling. Amen. It was pure, perfect, precious blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all of our sins. John the Baptist seen this man coming down, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh away the sins of the world." Amen. It's Him today that gave us and supplied for us the need, that one great need we had in our life. And that was the gift of salvation. We needed to be saved. Jesus walked on this earth. He supplied many kinds of needs. Amen. You can read through all those great miracles that Jesus did. At one point, there was a wedding going on, and they run out of wine. And his mama told him, said, "You just do what he says." And he turned the water into wine. Amen. There's one point that there was 5,000 or so people gathered around. Heard his teaching, the day become late. And the disciples were ready to send them home. You know, let them go get them something to eat. And Jesus said, "Why don't you feed them?" "Well, we ain't got enough money to go buy enough food for them. What do you have?" And here they found a little boy who was willing to share. And what was it he had? It was what, 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Huh? And he brought them to Jesus, and Jesus took it and began to bless it. He asked the Father, he blessed it, and then he began to break it. And he began to divide it up. Amen. And as he divided it up, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there was so much. Amen. When they were all said and done, that the disciples gathered up 12 baskets. Amen. Of fragments that were left. The Lord is a supplier, is He not? Amen. He fed 4,000 later on. He set the demoniac free. A man that was stricken, he would try to cut himself. They had to send him out into the cemetery or outside of the city there. And he lived in the cave among the tombs. And man, what a rough, terrible life this man had. But when Jesus came on the scene, amen, he set him free. He sent all of those demons out of there, and there were many. Amen. But oh, how excited and what a great event it was. Amen. On the face of the earth, he set those that were demoniac or those that had evil spirits in them, he set them free. There were those that were lepers. Nothing could be done. But he told them and he cleansed them and he sent them on their way back home. Amen. He raised the widow's son back to life. He calmed the fear. Amen. For those that were found in the storm. He cured the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. He raised Lazarus, who had been dead already 4 days. And he raised him back to life. Amen. The Lord was a supplier in every way, every shape, every form. But my friend, the greatest need, the greatest supply that He gave us today was the fact that He gave us His own Son in Jesus Christ. For God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, our needs sometimes. We think what our needs are, they're really not needs at all. We just kind of lose track of what really is right with God. Our priorities kind of get a little off kilter. Huh? God looks at us. He knows our needs this morning. Amen. There's a story told by Brother Russell MacDonald. Brother Russell's a preacher, pastors a church down in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Man, a great man of God. Got all kinds of confidence in him. One time he was preaching a revival. Man, he says, at a big church, had a balcony and people everywhere. And man, he said, things was just going good and the power of God was falling. And he said this one night, he said he just felt like telling this individual, said, "Now, you know, go over there and open that door." There was a side door. Said, "You open that door." And said, "When that door shuts, man, the power of God's going to fall on this place." And so he said the service went. He said, "I thought it went forever. I thought it was going to go on forever." But he said, "Man, we got to worshiping. People finally got their minds off of that door. And they got to worshiping the Lord." And he said all of a sudden that door slammed shut. And when it slammed shut, he said people began to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That pastor said he ain't never seen a like in all of his life. Amen. The amount of people that received the Holy Ghost that night. Amen. The pastor, he said, come on, we're going to go on a little while. This was the last night. We're going to go on. And so Brother MacDonald went into prayer. And he come back the next day and he said, brother, we can't do it. The Lord's got, he wants me to go on. And so he went on. He said, my next revival was at a little church. Had about 20 people. That's all they had. You know, big old church, been nice to stay there. But he said, I felt like it. So we went and we was having revival. Things was going okay, you know, nothing grand or great. I was kind of beginning to think I'd missed the will of God. But he said, one night in walked this fella. I was just preaching away and he walked in. Long hair, no shoes on his feet, holes in his britches. Walked in, you know, kind of looked around. I just kept on preaching. He turned around and walked out. He said, well, you know, in my mind I'm thinking, but I'm still preaching. He said, I just keep on preaching. I was preaching the salvation message. You know, it was all church folks there. I just kept preaching. And I kept preaching. And I kept preaching. And pretty soon, that door opened back up, and here he come back in again. And so I kept preaching, and I looked right at him. I kept preaching. And said, finally, I started to give the altar call. Told everybody, I want everybody to come in. He just stood out there in the aisle. So he said, I went down that aisle and I confronted him. And that man looked at me and he said, if you take another step, since it'll help me, I'll knock you down. And Brother Russell, if you know Brother Russell, he was a policeman for several years. Amen. And he that didn't daunt him at all. You know, he's a real feisty fella and he just kept on. You come another step, I'm going to take care, I'll knock you down. And he said, I went back and I got a hold of his shoulder. Amen. And I found out it wasn't me got a hold of him, but the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And that night that man gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Conviction gripped his soul and he got saved. Amen. Left a great revival. But the Holy Ghost knew the need of the people. He knows our need this morning. And he's very, very willing to come by and be a supplier if we'll only trust in him. Amen. Sis, you come get me a song this morning. I tell you what, I found out through the years that always buying something that was cheaper wasn't always best. You know, me and my wife, I razz her, and I think she gets upset at me sometimes, you know, but being that bargain hunter and you know, always thinking that she's got a better deal isn't always a better deal. One time we'd gotten the kids one of these games that they one of them electronic games, and anyway, he had to have this certain kind of thing to plug in so that it would work, you know, on this monitor. So we got it, and I went and bought this cheaper one. You know, I said it was post. No, I bought it. In a magazine or something, maybe online, I don't know. But I bought it, you know, because it's a better deal. Man, I was getting a great deal. I got it, put it on there for him, and had lines in his fuzzy. Well, what's going on here, you know? Well, I finally, you know, went back and got the real thing, if I could, so I can say it like that. You know, it was said, it's made by them for this. And we bought it. I looked at it, boy, it's thicker and heavier. And I could tell right then it's better made. I took it and put that on there for him, and boy, it cleared up everything. No lines, no fuzziness. It just paid. You know, I just lost money because I was cheap, and I, you know, I don't mind being cheap. Don't get me wrong there. My wife, man, she saved me so much money through the years by finding sales and bargains, huh? Ain't that right, Bud Jackie? Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord, Bud Dale. Yeah, I only got two or three guys here. You guys with me, right? And they've saved us money finding bargains. But listen, amen, there comes a time when cheapness ain't going to work. It won't hold up. Amen. And when you try to find something that isn't right when it comes to the spiritual things, when you try to, you know, kind of go the cheap route when it comes to serving God, amen, if you try something that isn't genuine or right, amen, it might last for a while. Might even make you feel feel pretty good, but it won't hold up. Amen. What you need today is to get a good old-fashioned experience down at the altar and let Jesus Christ just flood your heart and flood your soul to the point, amen, that you know when you get up that you have been changed. There has been a change. If you get up and there hasn't been, then you need to go back down and pray again. Amen. Until there's been a change. Naaman dipped 7 times because he was told to dip 7 times. But each and every time before he come up, he was still the same. There was no change. And there's so many people today that have gotten down, prayed a little prayer, or maybe come up and talk to the preacher, and there's been no change. And they need to go back down until they get up and they know in their heart there has been a change. Amen. The Lord does not supply us with cheap things. He doesn't supply us, you understand what I'm saying here, with things that are not genuine. The Holy Ghost is real. The Holy Ghost is true. The Holy Ghost, His Holy Ghost, amen, His Spirit is genuine. You can't cheapen it as people have tried to do. In this hour, they'll try to teach you how to speak in tongues. They'll try to come along and try to make you think you can't believe that. Amen. His Spirit is His Spirit. And don't accept anything less. Don't go for those brass shields. Amen. They may look good. They may look right, but don't go for them. Go for the things that are genuine this morning. His supply will meet your need each and every time. Amen. Let's stand this morning. God bless you today. God bless you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the great supplier. Amen. He never runs out of stock. It's never been discontinued. His good old salvation plan has been good for 2,000 plus years. Amen. And it'll still be good tomorrow. It'll still be good the next day. There's no improving it. There's nothing new that can be done to it and change it. Amen. Even though this world has tried, even though the world of church has tried, it's still His blood is the only thing that can take away our sin this morning. Amen. He is the supplier. Church, let's come this morning, find a place to pray. And let's seek the Lord a little while. Amen. Put your confidence in God. Oh, I just want to try and encourage us today. Put your confidence in the Lord. Put your confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let Him be the supplier. Don't try to find it everywhere else. Don't try to go here and there and yon trying to find. But let the Lord be your supplier today. Amen. Paul said, I've learned how to be content. No matter whatever state I'm in. Amen. That's where we must get today. Whatever God provides for us, let's be content with His blessings. Let's be content with His will. Let's be content with what He will do for us and what He has done for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God.